Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. We would like to present some programs started with news, commentary, and other self-information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we'll begin our program with news. Stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian government needs to help the preparation of fish export. Joko Widodo government is committed to supporting creative young generations. Bilibili Dam is not impacted by the disaster. Now the news in detail. Executive Director of Center of Maritime Studies for Humanities, Abdul Halim, said that the government needs to facilitate Indonesian business people to prepare their fish commodities export to the United States, as well as search for other prospective markets other than the U.S. Abdul Halim in Jakarta on Sunday, January 27, viewed that the implementation of new standard for the fish products to be exported to the U.S. is supposed to be done. Previously, Director General of National Export Development at the Indonesian Trade Ministry, Arlinda, said that Indonesia and the United States are committed to improving the trade value of respective country. Arlinda added that the number of the U.S. corporations who would like to invest in Indonesia has increased recently. Joko Widodo government, through the Indonesian State-Owned Enterprises Ministry, is committed to support Indonesian young generations to be productive and contributive for the country. The commitment is shown by Joko Widodo government through the implementation of the Islamic Next Gen Fest, which took place at Telkom University, Bandung, West Java, on Sunday, January 27. As reported by Antara News Agency in Jakarta, Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno told that the Islamic Next Gen Fest, which was participated in by Indonesian young generations, is the commitment of the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises in supporting millennial generations to be creative, innovative, and hardworking. Minister Rini Sumarno explained that the Islamic Next Gen Fest is a competition for Muslim millennials where they could present their capabilities. The competition was divided into three categories, namely Hijab Muda or Young Hijabi for talented and inspiring Muslim women, Nada Islami or the Islamic Rhythm for Islamic musicians, and Santripreneur or competition for students of Islamic boarding house who are passionate in entrepreneurship. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that he has visited Bilibili Dam in Goa Regency, South Sulawesi. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that he does not find any problem that should be evaluated in the area. It was remarked by the Vice President after leading a meeting on disaster mitigation held in Makassar on Sunday, as reported by Antara News Agency. President Yusuf Kalla explained that the condition of the dam in the headwaters must be repaired due to their sedimentation. Yusuf Kalla added that dredging could not be carried out properly if the trouble in the headwaters had not been solved. On the occasion, Yusuf Kalla pointed out that the disaster management should focus on overcoming the damage of the Bawah Kareng River Basin in its headwaters. The government would give stern sanctions to those who violate the rule. Indonesia and Turkey held the third round of talks to discuss the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, ITCEPA, in Jakarta on January 24 to 25. Based on the press statement released on Saturday of Director of Bilateral Negotiations of the Trade Ministry, Nimadu Ayumartini, who led the Indonesian delegates to the meeting, as the host of the meeting, Indonesia stressed the importance of constructive negotiations to discuss crucial issues in 6 working groups. The meeting aims to accelerate trade negotiations between the 2 countries. As quoted by Antara, the meeting is a follow-up of the second round, which was held in Ankara, Turkey, on 28 to 30 May 2018. The 6 working groups discussed various issues pertaining to trade, including market access and draft tax, customs and trade facilitation, trade remedies, technical trade barriers, sanitation and phytosanitation, and legal agreement. Martini said that the third round of the talks is the commitment of Indonesian government to strengthen economic cooperation with other countries so that Indonesia's export performance would improve. West Java Governor Ridwan Kamil, who is also an architect, announces the designs of a mosque in Gaza, Palestine to public. Its designs are delivered to the Aman Palestine Organization, which is a non-governmental organization, to support the funding of the mosque construction. It was remarked by Ridwan Kamil at Salman Mosque of Bandung Institute of Technology in Bandung, West Java, on Sunday, January 27. As quoted by Antara, Governor Ridwan Kamil said that the designs of the mosque would be chosen by Palestinian people. From the 4 designs presented, the people of Gaza choose the dome design. Regarding the budget, Ridwan Kamil estimated the construction of the mosque would cost around 20 billion rupiah. In a bid to support the construction of the mosque, Ridwan Kamil called on West Java residents to contribute for the 2-story mosque project by donating their money. Meanwhile, Director of Aman Palestine, Miftahuddin Kamil, said that the mosque would be built on the land of Sheikh Ajlan Mosque, which was damaged heavily by war. The Indonesian government, through the Ministry of Trade, plans to discuss export prohibited commodities this week. Director General of Foreign Trade at the Ministry of Trade, Oke Nurwan, said that details of the products are to be discussed this week. As quoted by Republika Online, Oke Nurwan in Jakarta on Sunday said that the simplification of restricted export ban would be applied to improve the export of Indonesia's featured export products. By improving the export, the deficit of Indonesia's trade balance, which has been an issue, can be solved. The last item, Indonesian Coordinating Human Development and Culture Minister Puan Maharani said that Indonesia is committed to realizing the targets established by Sendai Framework, or the Framework for Disaster Risk Mitigation, such as minimizing the disaster risk and overcoming health issue. Based on the press release received by Antara in Jakarta on Sunday, January 27, Minister Puan explained that Indonesia and the United Nations International Strategy for Disaster Mitigation have good cooperation in disaster risk management through active participation of ministers in each ministerial meeting. Disaster risk management has been integrated in the long-term sustainable development plans of Indonesia. Therefore, Indonesia keeps committed to realizing the targets of the Sendai Framework. Listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian government needs to help the preparation of fish export. Joko Widodo government is committed to supporting creative young generations. Bilibili Dam is not impacted by the disaster. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. Well, today's topic is being wise in choosing legislative candidates. The general election will take place in the next 2.5 months. However, some cases of bad behavior in some legislative candidates have emerged. Several candidates committed violations of General Election Law No. 7, 2017. For example, in their campaign, candidates had been caught using government facilities places of worship and distributed some items of basic food and even coupons for Umrah. Some have already been convicted and sentenced, but have continued to commit violations. As a candidate for members of the House of the Representatives, they should not break the law. If they are elected in the future, they will be involved in writing bills. But before being elected, they had violated previous DPR laws. So it is possible they could commit serious violations after being elected. Of course, it is not secret if there are several members of DPR involved in breaking in the law. A lot of them had been jailed because of their sinful actions. On April 17, 2019, the Indonesian people will cast their votes to elect candidates for president and vice president and members of the DPR. The track record of the two candidates for president and vice president is certainly clear. But for the prospective parliament members, there may be many voters are not aware of the corruption. In a conversation with the senior reporter of Voice of Indonesia, Daulat Fani, one of the commissioners of the General Election Commission, Firian Aziz urged the public to educate themselves before voting. This is to avoid making a bad decision or buying something in a sack. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program, Today in History. Well, we start from an event on January 28, 1932, when Japan attacked Shanghai. At night on January 28, 1932, Japanese ship carrier with its aircrafts bombed Shanghai. The bombing became the past biggest ship carrier action in East Asia. Afterwards, 3,000 Japanese personnel attacked the target, such as railway station in the north. The battle kept going on until the Nation League issued resolution that demanded a ceasefire. On March, China agreed to stop the battle, but Japanese side still wanted to fight and rejected the ceasefire. On March 14, the representatives of the Nations League arrived in Shanghai and pushed Japan to negotiate. The next event is that in 1949, United Nations Commission for Indonesia was established. The role of United Nations in solving Indonesia and the Dutch conflict was implemented by establishing peace agency to mediate the dispute and become mediator in peace agreement. The peace agency that was established by the United Nations for Indonesia was three countries commission. The peace agency was established as reaction of the United Nations on the Dutch first military aggression. But the commission was considered unsuccessful to reconcile Indonesia and the Dutch because the Dutch launched again its second military aggression. So on January 28, 1949, the UN Security Council issued a resolution to replace the Three Countries Commission with United Nations Commission for Indonesia. As a result, the United Nations Commission for Indonesia was to hold Rumroyen Agreement between Indonesia and the Dutch. Rumroyen Agreement was held at the Des Indes Hotel in Jakarta on April 14, 1949. And the last event is that in 1986, Challenger exploded when taken off and killed 7 people. Disaster of Challenger space shuttle occurred on January 28, 1986, when it was exploding 33 seconds after being launched. It caused death toll 7 astronauts
The space shuttle was destroyed on Atlantic Ocean off the coastal of Central Florida. The breakdown of the shuttle began after orange seal on the right of solid rocket booster SRB failed to be released. One of the two tilting booster rockets and scratching the pulsage immediately appeared, a spot followed by a plane explosion. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Oh,
oh. Bila sudah tak mungkin hasrat cinta menyatu, walau rasa itu masih ada, bahkan telah jadi bagian dalam hidupku. Jangan coba tanyakan ketulusan cinta ini, satu harapan dan juga satu tujuan dalam hidupku. Kasih, biarlah cintaku melayang jauh. Oh,
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic of My Indonesia today is Millennial Farming Santri Program launched to increase agricultural production. While listener, Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman launched the Millennial Farming Santri, or Islamic Boarding School Student Program, as a breakthrough to increase agricultural production in Tasikmalaya Regency, West Java, on Friday. The launch of the first agriculture program was attended by 15,000 of young santris from several cities and districts throughout Indonesia. Before the santris, a number of local government officials, Minister Amran emphasized that the launch of a millennial santri is a serious support of the Minister of Agriculture in the regeneration of agriculture sector. He further explained the program is important because future food needs will be even greater along with the increasing rate of population growth. Meanwhile, agriculture sector workers dropped and were only filled by senior farmers. He perceived that efforts to introduce and mobilize military students are a strategic choice to generate and increase agriculture productivity. Minister Amran Sulaiman assessed that the involvement of santris are part of a larger program, namely the 1 million millennial farmers movement, designated as a priority program to build Indonesian people in 2019. It was said that this activity was the merely instrumental because the assistance and training were concrete and would be supervised by technical implementing units. In this activity, the Minister of Agriculture also provided assistance directly in the form of superior seeds for rice, corn, and horticulture plants. In addition, there were 102 livestock, 500 goats or sheep, and 10,000 chickens, as well as livestock assistance. This number will continue to grow while collecting data on the potential of Islamic boarding school in Indonesia. Minister Amran Sulaiman hopes that the assistance will encourage the santris to be productive and become entrepreneurs in agriculture and animal husbandry. The hope is that pesantren or Islamic boarding schools can encourage agriculture productivity and generate many young entrepreneurs in agriculture when returning to the society. Director of the Vegetables and Medicinal Plants at the Minister of Agriculture, Prihasto, hopes that the Millennial Farmers Movement will reduce the problem of unemployment. For horticultural commodities, chili seed assistance is provided with an area of 40 hectares spread in Pangandaran, Garut, Ciamis, Banjar City, and Tasikmalaya areas. Chili assistance is intended for the development of business land in the pesantrens. Besides, assistance was also provided in the form of 2,500 mangosteen seeds for the Pangandaran and Tasikmalaya. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia today. Thanks for listening.
Lagi ku ber aku tidaklah sempurna, tetapi hatiku memilikimu sepanjang umurku.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listeners, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce Central Leather Industry in Tanggulangin, East Java. Stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Sidoarjo is one of regencies in East Java province. In the regency, there is Central Leather Industry, where majority of local people are leather craftsmen. The location of the Central Leather Industry is Tanggulangin District. Since 1970s, Tanggulangin has been well known on its bags and suitcases. The region can become alternative of shopping tourism after visiting Malang. It is located between highways that connect Surabaya-Malang and Surabaya-Mojokerto. Tanggulangin makes tourists to be interested to stop here after spending holidays. The development of Tanggulangin Center of Bags and Walls Handicrafts began in the 1960s, on which most of Kedensari people became part-time workers of suitcase company in Surabaya, East Java. Thus, some persons tried their own business by making suitcases from thick cardboard as raw materials that coated with cow leather. Then, in 1970s, lot of suitcases entrepreneurs from Surabaya, Semarang, Yogyakarta, Bandung, and Jakarta ordered the suitcases in Tanggulangin. Currently, a lot of goods that are sold are not original products of Tanggulangin. Some bag products from China have entered and become obstacle for Tanggulangin craftsmen. But some craftsmen still survive and sell their own bags and suitcases. Even some of them export their products to some countries. To avoid fake goods, you can buy at Tanggulangin original showroom. Usually, they still use the name of the owner of the name of the shop. You can also directly buy at Intaco showroom. The bags and suitcases belong to industrial cooperative in Tanggulangin. With its good quality products, Intaco market is interested by not only domestic but also international buyers such as from Italy, the United States of America, and Saudi Arabia. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Central Leather Industry in Tanggulangin, East Java Province. Thanks for listening.
Berjalan di muka rumahku, penuh gaya tersita pandanganku, hingga ku terpesona. Siapakah dirimu? Hatiku ingin tahu segera. Dimanakah rumahmu? Siapakah namamu? Sebutkanlah, ku ingin berkenalan. Terimalah salamku, gayamu dan wajahmu terbawa dalam mimpi diriku di mabuk asmara. Hati yang berdunia pada pandangan pertama. Saat kau berjalan
Are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sepi, kau menemani. Di saat ku sedih, kau menghibur hati. Di saat ku pergi, kau setia menanti. Kau cinta sejati, cinta sejati. Di saat ku gerah, kau memadamkan.
Of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and encourages you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Boleh Saya or May I? Stay tuned. Next is a conversation between Tony and flight attendant about Boleh Saya or in English, May I? The conversation between Tony and flight attendant takes place at the plane cabin. The flight attendant is going around to distribute food and drinks to passengers. He asks Tony to choose one of the two meals provided by the airline and also drinks. Tony wants to drink tea. Then Tony calls the attendant.
Nona, maaf.
Iya, Pak.
Boleh saya minta teh?
Baik, Pak. Akan saya ambilkan. Ini tehnya, Pak.
Terima kasih banyak.
Sama-sama.
As usual, after the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Maaf, in English, sorry. Boleh saya minta teh? May I have a cup of tea? Baik, all right. Akan saya ambilkan. I'll take it. Ini tehnya. Here is the tea. Terima kasih banyak. Thank you very much. Sama-sama. You're welcome. Pak or Bapak. Sir. Kopi. Coffee. Kertas. Paper. Listener, the question, Boleh saya minta teh or may I have a cup of tea? Boleh saya minta kopi or may I have a cup of coffee? In the conversation between Tony and attendant, the flight attendant answered, Baik or alright. The answer is usually expressed by the attendant, waiters, or from subordinate to the head office or boss. However, if your friend asks something to you, such as some papers, she or he says, Boleh saya meminta kertas? Or, May I have some papers? You can answer, Ya boleh. Or just say, Boleh. Or, Sure. In the conversation, you heard that word Pa, which is abbreviation from the word Bapa. Bapa is a call to elder or respected man. Bapa is often used in formal situations and business contexts. For example, Baik Pak, or Alright Sir, Terima kasih Pak, or Thank you Sir, Silakan Pak, or Please Sir, Apakah Bapak mau minum jus? Do you want to drink juice? Dari mana asal Bapak? Or, where do you come from, sir? Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Nona, maaf.
Iya, Pak.
Boleh saya minta teh?
Baik, Pak. Akan saya ambilkan. Ini tehnya, Pak.
Terima kasih banyak.
Sama-sama.
Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Sudah tak mungkin hasrat cinta menyatu, walau rasa itu masih ada, bahkan telah jadi bagian dalam hidupku. Jangan coba tanyakan san cinta ini, hanya engkaulah satu harapan dan juga satu tujuan dalam hidupku. Kasih, biarlah cintaku melayang jauh. Rasa cinta yang ada, rasa cinta yang ada. Jangan coba tanyakan ketulusan cinta ini, hanya engkaulah satu harapan
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, next segment we would like to give you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we present a song titled Yen Ing Tawang Ono Lintang by Waljina. The song was composed in May 1964 by the late Anjarani. The first singer who covered this song was not Waljina, but Sarbini, Waljina's sister, who was also a singer. At that time, the song was considered to have violated the original rules of the song style known as langgam. Such a distinctive cengkok style produced a new style of the song Yen Ing Tawang Ono Lintang. This song was also mentioned as a blessing prayer because of Anjarani's prayer through this song, allowing one to be blessed with a daughter granted by the Creator. Well, listener, here is the song Yen Ing Tawang Ono Lintang.